Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Glorfein Schiller and Garden podcast series. Scott Rodgeville, an officer with Glorfein Schiller and Garden, recently spoke at the Metropolitan Baltimore Council AFL-CIO Leadership Conference about fiduciary responsibilities for labor unions. And today, he will be sharing some key points from his presentation. And Scott, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me.
Sure. Thanks for joining. Let's jump right in. Let's start at the top, if you will. If you don't mind, give us a high-level overview of the fiduciary responsibilities for labor unions.
We like to think of fiduciary responsibilities for labor unions in three big areas. The three fundamental duties that they share are a duty of care, a duty of loyalty, and a duty of obedience. And that's at the 100,000-foot level. When you start to dig into it, you need to understand what those three duties represent. The duty of care, for example, is that executive board members are not just elected officers, but that they're actively participating in the organization. They attend meetings regularly. They're educated on the industry in which they serve. They're providing strategic direction for the organization. And they're ultimately, in large organizations, responsible to oversee management. So if they've got salaried employees that are on staff, that they have a responsibility to them. The duty of loyalty reminds those executive board members that their first obligation is to the labor union and not to their own individual advances. And so in doing so, they need to make sure that they operate in the interest of the organization first and foremost and not advancing their own personal agendas. And most significantly, where the accountants are concerned, is probably the fiduciary duty of the responsibility for duty of obedience, which relates to basically knowing the state and federal laws and regulations that apply. And that goes, in the case of labor unions, probably utmost importance is that of the Department of Labor, followed closely by the Internal Revenue Service, and then also applicable state laws. Along the way, they need to make sure that they're complying with their international constitution and bylaws.
That's great. Now, let's dive in a little bit more in terms of the board. I believe you covered in your presentation some insights about the board process, if you will, and would love to hear more about that.
Sure. So when you're responsible for overseeing a small business, which most labor unions really are, in some cases they're even large businesses, you need to have a process that allows the organization to advance its mission. And in doing so, you have to have officers who understand the bylaws and constitution. So normally for labor unions, we see bylaws at the local level or council level, and then the constitution comes from the parent organization or the international or national union. You follow those rules, you have to understand them, which means that you need to become very much familiar with those governing documents. And doing so, they tend to provide you with guidance relative to how to run elections, how to run your meetings properly, the frequency of meetings, and more somewhat specifically, they'll actually go through and identify the responsibilities of the different elected officers. In my experiences, most labor unions' constitutions lay out specifically what jobs the president has, what responsibilities the secretary-treasurer, or if there are two positions, the recording secretary and the financial secretary, what they have. And so the officers who have been elected to these posts should be able to carry out those responsibilities.
Okay, that's great, Scott. Now let's talk about the financial reporting responsibilities for labor unions. Tell us about that.
The financial responsibilities for labor unions are dictated by a number of the parties that are interested in what labor unions are doing. So first and foremost, they're usually driven by government regulators. And the primary government regulators for labor unions are the Department of Labor, which affects more directly in the reporting side for what we call private organizations. So if all your members working for a government entity, like the United States government or the state of Maryland, for example, those organizations are reporting not to the Department of Labor directly as a general rule, unless they have members who are working for private organizations. In that instance, they're required to report where they are reporting to the Department of Labor. They're doing it in the context of a labor management report known as an LM2 or an LM3, and in some cases for very small organizations, an LM4. In addition to that, and those are done annually on their fiscal year, within 90 days from the end of that fiscal year, they would also report to the IRS on a Form 990, and depending upon the size of the organization, they could report from as simple as the 990N or electronic postcard, as it's known, to a 990EZ, or a large organization will use a full Form 990 in order to report, once again, on an annual basis. to the Internal Revenue Service. In addition, many international organizations require their local unions that are smaller in size but not too small to actually be reporting differently from anywhere from simply advancing a copy of a filed 990 or LM to a full review or an audit of the financial statements of the local. And so it's important that you know what your international's constitution calls on you to report so that you're in compliance with all of those levels of reporting. In addition, labor unions need to be careful where they're getting involved in political activity. Some labor unions will collect separate monies from volunteer monies from their members in order to make contributions to campaigns for elected office. In some cases, they will retain lobbyists in order to move forward a legislative action that's in the interest of their members. And so that might bring in Federal Election Commission reporting. And so once again, labor union officers need to be aware of some of the pitfalls that can happen if you begin to do those activities and not report what you're doing to the appropriate authority. And then lastly, the issue of what do I report to the state? And you have to pay attention to the state in which you're domiciled, which is the state in which the union is operating. And based on that, there may be different reports from just simple registrations all the way to reporting of personal property so that the organization is recognized appropriately by that state.
Interesting. Now, let's shift real quick here, Scott, if you don't mind. Let's talk about some of the technologies that can be leveraged by labor unions, especially from a fiduciary standpoint, if you will.
So as an auditor, which is the primary hat that I wear when I'm talking to a lot of my clients, I like to see a trail of information that allows me to follow through and review financial transactions. And so that's the primary technology that I'm looking to see that organizations have put into place, which is how am I going to report my accounting information, my financial transactions. So we work closely with our clients to make sure that they're using the proper technology for the size of the organization and complexity of the organization. That could range from QuickBooks product, either the online or the desktop-based, to a Sage product, which used to be known as Peachtree, all the way up to something more complex like a Great Plains. And the need will vary depending upon the size of the organization, the complexity of their transaction. But understanding that part of technology is important, and asking the right questions about how to implement and what to implement is also very important. It's not just a matter of complexity, but it's also a budget-driven decision. So you need to ask all the right questions in order to gather the information to make an informed decision. But that's not the only technology that we see within the labor unions, and which I think should be important to the officers of labor unions as they execute their fiduciary responsibilities. I think you need to look at how am I tracking my membership data in a database so that you're using the right product or software, many of which are available through your international unions, in order to make sure that you're reporting the right number of members. The reason that that's important is twofold. One is that you're paying the right amount of per capita up to your international and that representation is appropriate. And the second, of course, is that you want to make sure you're collecting the proper amount of dues from your participating employers for which your members are working. In addition to those kind of financial responsibilities on the technology side, I think it's important that labor unions pay attention to the social media aspects of what they're doing from a technology perspective. Who's responsible for maintenance of accounts? What access is there to master passwords in order to represent data or information on the Facebook account of the local labor union? Facebook is a great way of communicating with your members, but if you're not using it right and you don't know who has control, it can also be somewhat self-destructive. Same applies to other social media platforms like a Twitter or a LinkedIn. You want to make sure that the information is not in the hands of just one person, that there's a group responsible.
Excellent, excellent. Now, let's shift once again, and I believe this was kind of a towards the end of your presentation, which is really about the threat landscape. And I'm sure we could probably talk about this on a separate podcast. I'm sure there's lots to discuss here, but we'd love to hear your take on the threat landscape today for labor unions.
So from my perspective, I looked at it and I thought that there were four major threats in today's environment. I think one of them is a threat that's there to every business and every individual, and that's a cyber threat. We don't know where or who is coming after us, but we have to believe and we have to operate as though people are. And so you need to protect information from outsiders. In the case of labor unions, some of the information that you have to protect is information that the government considers to be personal information. Frequently, labor organizations are collecting member social security numbers, they're collecting member addresses, dates of birth, all these things that can be used to violate an individual member's personal safety in terms of technology. And so you want to be very careful how that information is stored, who has access to it, if it's stored online, that it's protected, if it's stored on a network in the office, that you know that that network is protected appropriately. So making sure that you've taken the right steps and made the right decisions to protect your members' information is critical. Next up, the economic environment. As many people are aware, the economy is subject to change at a moment's notice. We need to pay attention to what's going on in the industry in which we work. So depending upon whether you're an auto worker or you're a government employee, you need to understand economically what the impact is of legislative decisions, of the forces at work within the economy naturally, to prepare for them and not be caught by surprise if suddenly you're facing potential layoff of your membership. You need to be paying attention to those threats because you don't necessarily control them, but you can anticipate them. Going hand in hand with the economic threat is that of political environment. We know that labor unions can be very much a lightning rod for the political environment, and we know that they've been targeted in the past. So it's important that those officers, when they're executing their duty of care for the organization as one of those fundamental fiduciary duties, that they're paying attention to what's going on within the political environment so that they can be more proactive in the decision-making that they have to do rather than being reactive. And by being proactive, they put their members in a position to be advancing the workers' rights that are so important to them rather than be subject to outside forces that are beyond their control. And the last major threat that we always want to pay attention to in any business is the threat of fraud or misappropriation of assets. Fraud can be something that is a conspiracy where you've got multiple parties involved, or the greater threat, I think, to many small nonprofit organizations or small labor unions is that of fraud from an internal source because there's just not sufficient segregation of duties. And this is one of those areas where you talk about a duty of care. The duty of care here that's relevant is, have you taken appropriate measures to ensure that there's a segregation of duties so that not one individual within the organization has the ability to misappropriate assets away from the organization in a manner that shouldn't be permitted?
That's great. You know, Scott, I think we've covered off on a lot of great stuff today. Is there anything else to add? Anything we may have missed?
So one of the takeaways from the discussions that we had in Atlantic City was the value of making sure that you're getting your membership involved. I think that this goes to the duty of loyalty to the organization. You really need to focus on not just doing your job day to day, but getting younger members involved so that the organization has a youthful foundation which it can build. Getting those members involved will help to increase your organizing ability. It'll help to increase your dues income, so that it gives you greater resources to do what you need to in order to advance your members' rights and workers' rights.
That's great. What a perfect way to end this interview. And for all of our listeners, you just heard an exclusive Gorfein, Schiller & Garden podcast interview with Scott Rogeville, who's an officer with the firm. And as we mentioned, Scott recently spoke at the Metropolitan Baltimore Council AFL-CIO Leadership Conference about fiduciary responsibilities for labor unions. And Scott was kind enough to share his insights from that presentation. And Scott, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you.